wāda dhīne yīne, jī sāngjē kī chē kī bē, nīng būtī jāngjū kūsīm nyam līn chāyā dhīshē, tā jāngjū kūsīm nyam līn chē nīm, tā dhīne lām yā, dhūyā lī yā, cīrūb nī cīrūb chē nīm, kōn rōk bāyā jī, chē kī rī, tā jī, yā zhōng rī, dhīndrī yīmbā yīndrī chā nī, tā lām chūbī, tēn, yīne, pīsūn sōgō chī kī tā, gōyā dī, kē chī mū rī, sā dhīndrī yīmbā yīndrī chā nī, Drupja ngeli tamche khenpe kubwaan re de inayi te drupa la ngebar to ngandu luden ane pusu soba chigda kasu urpa ge ngeba chenim ta dita ne roku guyaare so dita yinba yindu ngayla ngana zobe kasu re mikyan rungbu chigi namji gyawe kubwaan drupya che re de inayi lalin kya yindu sane anda chī kiawa chīma tā cīrīmni cīrīmliyā chāngchūk sīm nyamni chī tuyā chīgī lūdhīn sāngu chāngyāgī gyūsō dī thānggō dī dhūgu yārī sā dīndrī yīndū ngāndu gyūni ngēlī dhūyā chī gu yārī
So earlier we spoke about how bodhicitta is the essence of the practice the core practice and this cultivation of the bodhicitta requires to be undertaken through successive lifetimes. So although our ultimate object of aspiration is the attainment of what is called the definite goodness, particularly the enlightened state of full enlightenment of the Buddhahood, but although that is our ultimate aim, the eventual aim, but in order to achieve that aim, we need to go through successive life forms which is suitable for undertaking this practice on a continual basis, and that the appropriate life forms is the birth as a human being or birth in the higher realms of existence. So it is necessary therefore to seek the conditions and the causes for ensuring a continual attainment of these higher realms, the birth in the higher realms, so that one can carry on with a practice that would eventually culminate in the attainment of Buddhahood.
Tadana, mundu trube chagordi kibuchungudu thumbe chagoshadiyare. Tene tarbasam nyunjubamba tarbasam trubeyadi kibuchungudu chagoshadiyare. Tene ngeli thardu thamche khenpe kubwaan dhuyaadi kibuchimbi shogo chaade yaare.
So we can summarize all the aspects of the practice in the following. All the practices that are related to the achievement of a birth in the higher realms, they belong to the class of the initial scope, and all the practices that are related to the attainment of a liberation from cyclic existence and the elimination of afflictions, the defilement of afflictions, and that belongs to the practices of the middling scope, and all the practices that are specifically related to the means of attaining the omniscient state of Buddhahood, and those are those belong to the supreme capacity or supreme scope.
That Tendiji, any Tesam Shita to gain the Kibutamasiares, Kibuchum Siares, Tay, Mondo to the Tabjudi, Kibuchum the Tumum Lam Siares, come there.
So, as I explained before, the main objective of the practitioner of this text, Path, Lamp for the Path, are really those who seek the attainment of full enlightenment of Buddhahood. So the practices that are explained as part of the initial scope and the middling scope are in fact prerequisites, or they are common aspects of the path. So we now read from the text where verse 3 reads, "Know that those who by whatever means seek for themselves no more than the pleasures of cyclic existence are persons of the least capacity." So the main point of this verse has already been explained, that this refers to the practitioners of the initial scope, where the primary objective is to seek the means of attaining birth in the higher realms. So what are the means for attaining this birth in the higher realms, which is the objective, spiritual objective of the initial scope? This we spoke about, in fact touched upon it yesterday. And here the key practice is really living one's life according to the ethical discipline of refraining from the 10 negative actions of body, speech and mind. And because these negative actions of body, speech and mind are the principal causes that lead an individual to take birth in the lower realms of existence and undergo the sufferings of the lower realms. And therefore, by consciously and deliberately adopting an ethical discipline and refraining from these actions constitute establishing the methods or means by which one attains freedom from the lower realms of existence. So what are those 10 negative actions that one must refrain from? There are three actions of body, these being taking life or killing, stealing, refraining from stealing, and from sexual misconduct. So three bodily actions, and then four verbal actions, these being telling lies, engaging in divisive speech, using harsh words or harsh speech, and engaging in senseless gossip or frivolous speech. And then there are three mental actions, which are covetousness, ill will or harmful intent, and harboring wrong views.
Tatala, any Tachima Nandrule Tare, Nandrule Tane, and Mondulu de Tuvalia, Chima Tenegi, Lochayada, Chima Deve, Tapta Nisha. That Chima Deve, Tapta Bati, Landes, Casola, Landela, Yichi Nier Tane, Migjum Sula, Telia, Landa Tachi Tawalia, Yzinia Valia, Sanji Gibuja, Sanji Yishi, Pajidoyum.
So
네, 지목 먼도 탑이야기 다 탑 차산들이 말이.
So it is by living out the ethical discipline of refraining from the 10 negative actions that one seeks freedom from birth in the lower realms of existence. So therefore the practices that are involved for the initial scope primarily of two categories. One is, one part of the practice is to engage in the training of mind so that one cultivates genuine aspiration or wish to gain freedom from lower realms of existence. And the other is to then cultivate the means by which one can achieve that aim. And the means here refer to cultivating the understanding of the laws of cause and effect, particularly that of karma, and then living according to the law of karma by abstaining from the negative actions of body, speech, and mind. And this is, in fact, the precept that one takes as a result of taking refuge in the three jewels, because without having some understanding of the nature of the three jewels, one will not be able to appreciate the important aspect of the law of karma. So therefore, in this practice, you need both going for refuge, taking refuge, and then living out the precepts of that refuge, which is to live according to the principles of karma, the law of cause and effect. And so one needs to cultivate conviction in the law of karma and also go for refuge. And in order to do that, one must first cultivate the genuine desire to seek freedom from lower realms of existence. And in order to do that, one must first develop some understanding of the intensity of the suffering of the lower realms. And this is done by reflecting upon the suffering of the lower realms and also appreciating the transient nature of one's life. And in order to fully appreciate the importance of gaining a favorable rebirth to engage in practice, one must appreciate the preciousness of the opportunity that one has right now as a human being. Therefore, it is important to realize its value and also the opportunity our human existence provides us. So in this way, we can see how all these various elements of the practices are part of this the practices of the spiritual practices of the initial scope. So you have recognition of recognition of the preciousness of human existence and the opportunity it accords us, recognition, the understanding of the suffering of lower realms of existence, and going for refuge, developing conviction in the law of cause and effect, understanding the transient nature of life. All of these, you can see that they are related, interrelated, and they constitute the practices of the initial scope.
Mangi, anda, ta peyog anda, lamakashi sumgyunya di sumdoa, manju tabe milu di, eni milu rinpuchichik chekko bares, milu churpuchichik yo bares, chur, chingwa, milu rinpuchi, ta di tengne, manju min namju eda, chik, di sangujik tali ya pishu chetuna, rinpuchi chakri, dödun ruyachik chakri, ta di min namju di, 그 랑신 풍을 제가 가면 땅바 있나? 아니 줄은 되네 줄 나지 줄 가서 다 이제 줄순 생화 또 줄순은 이제 풍난 되네 그러다 줄순 줄순은 풍난 되네 풍을 되네 줄샘도 다든 제도 줄샘 봐 지난 드니는 전에 밀류 줄부채 풍을 되네 저기 저기가 말이지 밀류디 되든지 이신이 노부지 채워를 마도 밀류디 아니 풍는 되게 지요 말도 됐어 버려 밀류 준부시지 작업에 이 마도 밀류 출부시지 재미니스
in fact some of the Tibetan masters have said that when reflecting upon the value of human existence and its preciousness, these Tibetan masters have made the statement that it is important for us spiritual practitioners to ensure that the human life that we have becomes truly precious, something that becomes a source of jewel, something that can lead to goodness. It is important to ensure that our human life does not become a source of our own downfall, something that brings disaster to oneself. So what we are involved here by engaging in these practices is, in fact, we are engaged in a process of training the mind. It is through engaging in a training of mind, it is through disciplining our mind that we are trying to bring about transformation, not only at the mental level, but also at the level of our bodily action. And so starting from the practices of the initial scope, which involves adopting the ethical discipline of refraining from 10 negative actions, what we are doing is not living an ethical discipline which is somehow imposed from outside, like a law or according to some dictates, but rather it is something that is voluntarily embraced on the basis of understanding of its value, that you embrace this discipline for yourself. And so it is in fact a form of self-discipline that you embrace for yourself, and through this process that one can expect to effect change. Because if the discipline is externally imposed according to the authority of some body like court or law or whatever, then its impact in the mental training may not be very effective. So in order for it to be effective, the discipline has to be voluntarily embraced, and it has to be a self-discipline where the discipline is adopted on the basis of fully understanding its values. And so, and therefore, in order to develop this full understanding, you need to listen to someone who has that insight, who has that understanding. Therefore, in Buddhism, when we relate to the Buddha Shakyamuni, we relate to the Buddha as a teacher. We refer to the Buddha as the teacher. For us Buddhists, the Buddha Shakyamuni is not, our relation to Buddha Shakyamuni is not like relating to a creator, all-powerful creator. Rather, we do not expect the Buddha to have all the have the power over our destiny, holding all the power over our destiny, but rather we relate to him as a teacher. And in fact, Buddha himself has stated in the sutras that oneself is one's own master and oneself is one's own enemy. So the point he's making is that one's own future destiny really lies in one's own hands. And so one can say that in order to develop a proper understanding of the practices, we need to rely on a teacher who is qualified in that he or she has, she represents the tradition that is stemming from the historical Buddha Shakyamuni. So one could say that, you know, one can imagine there being an uninterrupted lineage of a custom or a tradition or whatever we may call it in a conventional language, that that custom or the tradition has been maintained uninterrupted, and the teacher, a qualified teacher, is someone who has inherited that body of knowledge and body of insight. And so, therefore, since our practice depends, success of our practice depends upon learning it from a qualified teacher, we find the role of teacher being taken as very important in the Buddhist practices. And to emphasize this point, we find even in the scriptures that all the very detailed qualities, qualifications of the teacher are mentioned in the scriptures, starting from the Vinaya teachers, the monastic discipline teachers, up to the teachers of such high levels of Vajrayana practices like Guhyasamaja or Kalachakra. And all of this shows that that the importance of teacher and the importance of one's teacher having all the qualifications, because otherwise, if the teacher does not possess these qualifications prescribed in the scriptures, there is a danger that the practitioner, the students, may be let down.
lamrim chigengi lamati ani dodigyang nang suwa na shingi chwe chundin shikwe suwa shingi tuwa, shiwa, nir shiwa lawa sumbu yandere bache yandere lakwa ani chwe tenpa la chik zamba ta chala ani taba gyashimu chini lungi chukwa kasa tuwa shumbu yandere lakwa zunja lungi chukwa 등이들도 또 와서 체지 담이 또 봐. 또 매나냐? 지 체지 담이 이게 그게 다 과해야 돼 봐. 다 뒤시도 러버 숨긴 낭생기 싫어 그 러버디 가사가 담이 다 가사가 담이 체지 담이 차라 차라 예배 왕도 체니. 단 너디게 그 룰이야 다 체지 담이 다 가사 담이 차라 샤. 아. 다 드네 막해 봐. 아니 제외 담이 아니 교방 내가 타는 시 쳤다 봐라 내가 타는 시 하지 근데 지금 쳐주 되지 좀 제가 젊은 시기 뒤 러브리 시민 아니야 뒤그도 뒤 손이 랑 마투어 샌듀에 내메베스 샌듀 뛰어 대바 대 통으로 랑기 뛰어 죽어서 rangi gyu dulu rangi gyu dulu thang ani ji dhuwe yanden do ming ta be ji da yanden negar ye yanden ka sore yanden ga dang chi du de ga da ji dhuwe yanden do ming ta she be yanden ga ri be mi phens gyae ta ba chi de tsum be gyu tu ch gu le is gyae ta ba chi de tsum be gyu tu lu ga res la na lu ji ni ju tan be chi rada kanda lyungak ni ju tan be chi sim chi ji be ding yin ji tene nelu dame be te khonani thone shirab chen no da tesum do khoe tesum do
now in the context of lamrim meditation lamrim practice the stages of the path which is the main theme of the text that we are discussing so in the context of the stages of the path teachings the qualifications that are required on the part of the teachers are mentioned in asanga's ornament of Mahayana scriptures, where he lists 10 such qualifications, these being that the teacher must possess realizations of the three higher trainings of morality, concentration, and wisdom, must also be industrious in one's dedication to living an ethical discipline. He or she must have vast knowledge of the scriptures and he or she must have if not a realization of emptiness as described in the ornament of Mahayana scriptures as realization of the selflessness of phenomena or at least a deep understanding of this no self and then he or she must be eloquent skillful in his or her speech And also, the teacher must possess compassion, and finally, the teacher must be resilient so that he or she does not feel a kind of demoralized and feel fatigued when teaching. And so, these are the principal qualities that one must seek in a teacher of Lamrim. And when discussing these qualifications of the teacher. In his great expositions of the stages of the path, Tsongkhapa makes a sort of a very concluding statement where he says that since for someone who has failed to tame or discipline his or her own mind, since it is impossible for someone who has failed to tame his mind to discipline someone else's mind, therefore those who wish to act as teachers must first discipline their own mind. And when speaking about the method of disciplining this, it is not adequate simply to have one or two kind of partial realizations. Rather, the method of disciplining one's mind should conform to the overall teachings of the Buddha. And then he explains what he means by the overall teachings of the Buddha. Then here he explains this within the framework of the three higher trainings. In other words, the teacher must have understanding and some realizations of higher training in morality, higher training in concentration, and higher training in wisdom.
Common sense, especially, because I like you, but you know, I'm good to look at the shape of this at the catch of social.
And If, however, after having found a qualified teacher, even though the teacher may be fully qualified, but in certain areas, the instruction that is given to you, if you find it that it is contrary to the overall teachings of the Buddha, then it is stated, for example, in the monastic discipline scriptures, it is in the Vinaya, it is stated that if the instruction given by the teacher is in conflict with the teaching, then one must reject it. Similarly, we find in the scriptures, sutras, which was quoted by Tsongkhapa in his great exposition, that those instructions that conform to the general ethical norms must be followed. Those instructions that do not conform to the general ethical norms must not be practiced. Similarly, in the case of Vajrayana, we find in the 50 verses on Guru, it is explained that if an instruction that has been given to you by your teacher, if either you are incapable of fulfilling that advice, or if you understand that by implementing that advice that you would be causing more damage, then one needs to use common sense and explain to the teacher that the reasons why you cannot implement the advice that he has given. So these points are actually mentioned in the scriptures themselves.
In
the Tibetan tradition, there is a saying that.
Any Kabriyan Drujingi Shungi de Yare, Bena Toha Lu, Kasuk Nyamdog Lutin. The Zute Rikashepe six shoes doctor sent him. Yanachi Belajan Sunshaw, the Nini Mudua. That the Zute Hedipo Tagger Yanchi Kasu Shunshun Chigdaya, Mithubitin, the Yungri, the Yanko. 간다 챤시베지 쉐베이나 나른데 케베 제셰베 담바 지 오레 다 들려 지저레 가사 아 담바 지진 것도 쉐바 지신기베 담바 지진 것도 쉐바 가사 괴생 것도 쉐바스 나한테 숨고 나러리야 가사 괴생 것도 쉐바 숨지 담바 지진 것도 쉐바 숨지 다 나른데 케베 숨지 담바 지진 신 담바 지디 这么切切提问都现在送现在去扛上国人是对古门的这些的都是培培罗马几里啊快点看不到没把它对你送现在去然后那么让你都被弄对你你古门写写的时候这些的扛上国人是切切扛上切了我人力你娘道他路是吧然后去读些几里啊刻度了去写到哪些吧去所以他的刻度刻度给读些题看不到没把它参吧他快点读些的 배로 코프게 차진 샤다 창데도 강사 들려야 배념으로서 초가베데 차상지 서로 누가 차상 중불로다 좋아 서다 배는 네 소를 셰셰 자네 저 세상 어디 네 소를 야 근데 지금 샤요 가사 라마 지금 자리 샤 이거 그들이야 라마 지금 가주 나눠시 파 교수 숨비는 지 셰셰 아니 다데 강사 거쟁이 원도신의 숭시에 담바지 담바지쟁이 원도신 수 자유모이나 아니 강사 규미맘이 타바 메딩에 들려야 아니 걸로도 돼야 그냥 그래
there is a Tibetan saying that for
캄글라마지 캄글라마 원어랑 지 코랑 길루레 제 싸게 거니 리스 마셔 버려 캐베벤 남주 탄데브 지 안다 년근 주고사 년근 주고 콩대로 송샤 콩대로 송샤 담바 지진 거 어디죠 가사 가사 거쟁 거 어디죠 이거 아래 있어 that 담바래
there is this there is a tradition in Tibet where tremendous emphasis is placed on the authenticity of the lineage of one's teachings. In fact, there is a saying that, that the source of a pure water must be traceable to its origin in the pure snow mountains. In the same manner, the source of an authentic Buddha's teaching must be able to be traced to the Buddha, to the teacher. And this, I think, is very important that whenever we engage in Tibetan in Buddhist practice, and particularly those who consider themselves as followers of the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, it is important to ensure that your practice that you are engaging in is authentic, so that it is traceable to the through this authentic lineage of transmission. Because sometimes there is a danger that that somehow you know, when you detach it, when you alienate the actual practice from its authentic roots, then sometimes it is very difficult to differentiate what is a genuine Buddhist practice and what is not. In fact, these days there is a sort of sometimes a tendency, because of the so-called New Age phenomenon, a tendency to kind of take bits from here and take bits from there and try to come up with one's own kind of amalgamation, a kind of a mixture. And this may be fine, but if you are following a particular spiritual tradition like the Buddhist tradition, particularly Tibetan Buddhism, then it is important to ensure the purity of the lineage, that there is an authentic source. It is important, and how you do that is by ensuring that your understanding of the teachings really conform to the broad framework that is laid out in the writings of the great Nalanda masters, so that your understanding and practice conforms to the tradition that has been established in Nalanda. Of course, among the scriptures, generally speaking, one can say that there are two principal types of scriptures, which as a teacher from Kham, who had tremendous admiration for all the four schools of Tibetan Buddhism, although he was himself a Gelugpa, he made a distinction which I think is quite relevant. He made distinctions among the scriptures of two principal types. On the one hand are those scriptures that really present make a general presentation within the overall framework of the Buddha's teaching, such as those writings of the Nalanda masters. Then there are another category of teachings which are much more specific to a very specialized context, where and this would include in writings such as the dohas, the songs, such as the sarahas, dohas, the experiential songs of saraha, and also a very specific instructional text written by a teacher for a very specific individual. And sometimes you find experiential spontaneous songs called the gurmas, and these are written really for specific context and specific individual circumstances, and one cannot, and these are really meant for very specialized circumstances where the individual for whose purpose the text is written is someone who has the basic understanding of the overall framework of the Buddha's path, and then also many other factors and conditions are ripe so that a particular teaching has a special kind of resonance, and it has this effectiveness. And this is analogous to, for example, in the Vinaya, according to the Vinaya, during the time of the Buddha, it is said that there is one particular type of rituals where the candidates were so ready that one need not go through the elaborate ritual of the whole ordination ceremony, but rather the Buddha's simple statement, come over here, and it's Trushop in Tibetan, come over here, that constitutes the actual ceremony of ordination. And in fact, there was also a story in Tibet of a lama who was requested by one of his disciples for a specific instruction, and the lama was in a rush, and he said, go away. And in fact, the student was said to be so ready that he or that person felt this instruction, this statement, go away, to represent a profound instruction. And in fact, it is said to have led to his realizations. But these are very individualized circumstances, and therefore it is important to know that one cannot universalize from these specific texts that are meant for specific context into an overall understanding of the Buddha's path.
Yang bezhi ji jiu shou le. A de zhao jin kan bu min si sai ji da sha su che long jiao le. Kam. Sa ta sa de ling an am du ji. Ko di la me zai. Zhao jin ti shua xi min sa. Na zhao jin ti shua xin jie. 라면 다
I'll give you another example. There was a story of a great Dzogchen master from Kham, who was known as Kenpo, the abbot Nisun, Kenpo Nisun. He's no longer alive. But I heard from one of his students, and when this Dzogchen master came to Lhasa, and the student went to see him. This student, actually, the Lama was in Kham, and the student who was in Lhasa went deliberately to seek out the Dzogchen master. And after having heard about him, he felt tremendous devotion to the teacher, and when he actually met him in person, and the teacher was reading a text, and as he approached him and prostrated saw him, the student was so moved to tears, and he felt a tremendous devotion and a fervent kind of a sense of connectedness. And so he felt tears in his eyes. And afterwards, when the teacher stopped reading the text, the student approached him and asked him to give an instruction. And the teacher told him, "You don't need an instruction now. You already have received it right now." And the point is that because the student was so ready, the simple encounter, face-to-face encounter, was adequate to really give rise to the realization. So this shows that when all the conditions are ready, then even single incident can really trigger the realization. But on the other hand, if the conditions are not ready, then even if you attend Kala Chakra initiations, which takes days and days, hardly anything will happen. The point I'm making here is that it is
important.
So the point I'm making is that it is very important for us to try to develop our understanding of the teachings on the basis of these texts that are written within the general framework of the Buddha's path. And because if you have that kind of deeper understanding of the overall aspect of the path, then one will be in a position to understand the profundity of those texts that are really written for specific circumstances. It's not so much a general presentation, but it's more the presentation made within the context of an overall understanding of the Buddha's path, overall framework of the Buddha's path. So it is important to develop that kind of understanding so that then you will be able to appreciate the significance and the meaning of those texts that are written for more specialized context. Whereas if you lack this first kind of understanding, which is grounded in an overall understanding of the Buddha's path, then there is a danger of misunderstanding when you approach those texts that are really written for a specialized context. Another example I can give you is that in the Tibetan tradition, we all
Another example I can give you is that in the Tibetan tradition, we all 담바 지생공도 집에 줌시디 마시베체 되네 도도 아주 도주 좀 치면 있나 무디고도 틈을 쉬어 차인 거 맞아 쉐라하게 겨우로 퍼져던데 가고래
For example, in the Tibetan tradition, there is a recognition of the six yogas of Naropa being representing a very profound instruction of practice. However, if the practitioner of the six yogas of Naropa lacks the kind of understanding that I've spoken about, for example, Lama Tsongkhapa has also written a separate commentary or guide to the practice of the six yogas of Naropa and has praised this practice tremendously. So, however, if the practitioner of this profound instruction, which are the six yogas of Naropa, lacks the understanding that I described earlier, which is the understanding of the overall understanding rooted in the overall framework of the Buddha's path, then it is very difficult to conceive how such an individual can really gain benefits from the profundity of this instruction. Because in themselves, many of these practices of the six yogas seem to be common to non-Buddhists, common with non-Buddhist schools as well. If you look at teachings of the other non-Buddhist schools, you find the practice of transference of consciousness, the powa. You also find the inner heat practice in the non-Buddhist texts. You find also the holding the vast breath is also found in non-Buddhist texts. You find also a lot of techniques for bringing about the flow of the pranas and the energy and the drops within one's channels. We also find various techniques for practices of dream yoga. All of these, many of these can be found in the non-Buddhist practices. So there is nothing uniquely about Buddhists in these practices. However, if the practitioner of these six yogas grounds the practice in this deeper understanding of the overall framework of the Buddha's path, then of course one will be able to really benefit from the profoundness of these instructions. Now, as for the specific explanations of the topics of Lamrim practices, such as recognition of the preciousness of human existence, understanding the transient nature of existence, transient nature of life, and so on. And, you know, I shall not go into these details because a lot of these can be read from many books that are available now. To read from the text now, the first four reads, those who seek peace for themselves alone, turning away from worldly pleasures and avoiding destructive actions, are said to be of middling capacity. And the destructive actions here does not refer to unwholesome actions in the sense of negative karma, but here destructive actions really refer to the origin of suffering, which are the karma and the afflictions, and particularly the afflictions. And therefore, those spiritual practitioners who aspires to gain freedom from these afflictions are practitioners of middling capacity, and the means by which they turn away from these is by eliminating the afflictions.
Thank you, Jinglia. Any Nyala Kasol Tabatini Lochanya. Any Tabatrebe. Any Lam Chidawima. Or that Hidi Ni Sangu Nichen. Tabatini Lochanada. Any Kasa Tabatrebe Lam Tempa. Tabatini Lochanalia. Any Dodinkoe Nimi Samba, Kunjuko and Jurum Samba. Nigitane. Any Pugeda.
And as for the various elements of the practices that are associated with the practitioners of middling capacity, broadly speaking, again, it falls into two categories. One is the training of mind to cultivate the genuine wish or desire to gain freedom, so that's cultivating of renunciation. And the other one is the cultivation of the path that will bring about the fulfillment of that wish, fulfillment of that desire. And in order to train one's mind to cultivate the genuine desire to gain freedom from cyclic existence, one needs to reflect upon the defects of cyclic existence, and also one needs to develop an understanding of the causation that exists amongst the karma and the afflictions. So it is through these reflections one cultivates the wish to gain freedom, and then embarks upon the path to bring about that freedom.
아니 이제 로단 나와로 갈아 간서 집에 가도 누워디 러싱 말과 그 깨지 먼저 주시는 배 쩍쩍 대대비 있나 아니 누워 러싱 말과 자상가 말하는 통수리야 누워 줘야 여대버지 인친제가 되고 깨지 누구여 봐도 세우시라래 다 깨지 지겨야디 아니 직부 친중기 두 싸바지 아니 찬이 두진 싸바지 태백왕기 아니 계시긴 지켜야 충분해. 아니 뭐나 계시긴 지켜야 돼. 관계 깨버렸잖아. 랑 계시기 육화랑기 직에 떠니도 깨용이 말이야. 저 상관 계시기 육화래 직에 떠니도 죽네. 직에 떠니도 깨. 자 딘데인데 다 계시 당고 계시 입에 들수 마대배 미다와서 많이 봐. 계시 당고 계시 당고 능력이 되려 직에 당이도 좋습니다 이 말이에요. 그래서 이제 인도 계시 당고 능력을 믿으면 당신도 믿어 봤대. 다 아들 믿다고 해서 디셔야 돼. 믿다고 차와대. 저자가 이제 인도 계시 당고 능력이야 믿으면 당신도 돼야 돼. 육호랑 잡아봐도 능력 계시 육호랑 잡아봐도 두 현실이 잡는다고. 그래서 이제 인도 주의 상황을 잡아대. 세워서도 와. 주의 상황이. 봐. 다 뒤 샹완제 다 지지기 뒤지기 저 강인의 뒤 샹완제 대체 다 뒤 샹완제 이는 동요 임비 차바다 여 말이대 다 안다 급대 년령이 풍부디 샹무야 년령이 풍부디 깨지기지 지게 다니래 그 뒤 샹완제래 실상에 다 뒤 뒤 군중 라뉴니다 디나가 저 이니 뉴몽이 샹완제 임바디 이니 거의구도가 자상가 년령이 풍부 깨지기지 지야디 Duyi wangi chungari, duyi shiangwan chari, duyi mungu wangi chungari, duyi maribwa wangi chungari, dinde yindu maribwa shiangwan chari yinba yindu, yindu dongya wari duwa. Mingzang kura dami shiwa chiki, maribwa shiagi. Yini, kanda pe, mungu zungdu ma shiwa, chinshi logu lo, logdo, dinde chiki da shiangwan chiki, shiangwan ki rangshin yinna, tati sangbu ji mendeba, zangwa mendeba, mizangwa yindeba, da sangbu kwaya chi duwa.
So we find that in the practices associated with the middling scope, when describing the path that that are the key for bringing about the liberation that one is seeking, the practices really. Is embodied in the practice of the four noble truths. So, and the first noble truth is the truth of suffering. And when teaching the truth of suffering, Buddha taught in terms of four characteristics of suffering. The first of which is the first being impermanence. So we find here a contemplation of impermanent to be an important part of the practice. We also found earlier, in the context of initial scope, the importance of reflecting upon impermanence. However, these two practices of impermanence are different. In the context of the initial scope, impermanence is understood more in terms of the transient nature of life, where impermanence is understood more at a kind of a gross level, where it is understood in terms of the possibility of cessation of a continuum. At a certain point. Whereas in the context of contemplating or meditating the Four Noble Truths, the impermanence here is a much subtler one. And here, impermanence really refers to the dynamic nature of reality where everything, all things and events go through momentary change, moment by moment change in a dynamic process. That nothing stays still, and it is this understanding of this subtle impermanence which will then lead to understanding of the nature of unsatisfactoriness or suffering, and then on to understanding of no self or absence of selfhood, and this interrelatedness, this relatedness of gaining insight from impermanence to suffering and then to no or selflessness is explained in various texts such as in Aryadeva's 400 verses, and also in Dharmakirti's Pramanavatika, exposition of valid cognitions, he explains how the insight into the former leads to the insight into the latter. From insight into impermanence leads to the insight into suffering, and then on to no self. So when we, so how do we understand this subtle impermanence? Here we can see that if we observe the world of phenomena around us, whether it is a big tree in front of us or including even a mountain, when we observe them, if we feel as if there is no change, there is something that is kind of enduring. However, over time, over a period of long time, maybe a couple of years, or in some cases thousands of years or tens of thousands of years, these, even these seemingly enduring things change. And so the fact that they change is something that we can observe with our bare eyes. So in order to explain, account for this perceptible change, one has to accept that this process of changing must be occurring even on a moment-by-moment basis. Because if things do not go through a change on a moment-by-moment basis, then there is simply no basis for accounting for the fact that over time we detect a perceptible change. And so one can say that anything that can be perceived as having a changeable quality is subject to a change, a process of change on a moment-by-moment basis. And then the question is, you know, what brings about that change? What brings about, you know, what is it that makes something to come to cease? Do things and events require a secondary condition to bring about their cessation? Do they go through the process of cessation naturally? Here, what we can see is that it is not the case that things first come into being and then a secondary factor comes into play and makes brings about their cessation. In fact, the very cause that brought about the thing in question also brought about the thing in question is also the very cause that brings about the cessation. So all things and events come into being with, one could say, the seed for that cessation inherent in them. And therefore, this suggests that all things and events are under the power of their causes and conditions. So in other sense, they are other-powered. They are governed by other conditions. And in the context of our own conditioned existence, since our own existence is also on, subject to the same nature of changing, then it is also governed by causes and conditions. And in the context of our conditioned existence, what are the causes and conditions? The causes here refer to the karma and the afflictive emotions. And particularly among the afflictive afflictions, the root is this fundamental ignorance. The fundamental ignorance grasping at things as inherently existent. And so if this is so, then we can understand that our very conditioned existence is under the power of this delusion, this this affliction, and this ignorance. And even the very name, ignorance, suggests something wrong with it, something distorted. So long as we remain under the power of such a force, how can there ever be a room for lasting goodness? Through this way, we will be then able to gain insight into the unsatisfactory nature of our conditioned existence.
Tan disu chigle ya dungele ne dame sung se de age tin de dan chigle ne ta du yi shang wan shen ne le ji phung bu du yi shang wan che de gyu de 다 이게 안다 근데 양아 주니 순데 그도게 다 이거 타면 머리 버티기 다 시양아지 차려 가래 근데 얘는 머리가 순충하다 아니 머리에 다 가소래 땅다 아니 땀이 더 싫을 때 다 꺼야지 자 근데 얘는 머리에 신유 다도 주버디 다 매봐 내봐야지 근데 얘는 다 가소래 땀이 남살이야 신은 매발래야지 다 달래야 아니 지가소래 동반이 있을 때 아들 단 내가 신을 통해서 와 신은 동반이 있을 때 놓고 여러 사람을 시야에서 쓰지 마도 계속 해줄 수 있어 다한테 만주 주의시 주머리고 시야왕자리 머리고 달래다 남겨와서 주나서 뭐 머리고 자오듯이 튜토나 사람의 사무소 퍼레 있나 아니 머리고 견다니 담에도 뭐 싫어 냐하신 것도 내가 지 신세대 참말로 서버 시다 자아신부로 전주시다 자아신부로 해디 참성 몽던 개미치 신는 이봐 사주 민수인데 참말로 서버 디디 시다 자아신부로 귀인의 머리고로 내봐 윤구리 해디 태양을 너지너지로 누구야 말이 자 진정인도 이는 담에 대고 싫어버려야 부십려야 담에 대고 싫어버려 때 자아신부지 통들려야지 용되기도 와
And also we can understand this statement of how insight into impermanence can lead to insight into suffering and how insight into Suffering can lead to insight into a no-self or anatman in the following way. Because once we realize that our very conditioned existence is under the power of afflictive forces such as fundamental ignorance, then we will also realize that it is only by generating insight into no-self, which is the direct opposite of fundamental ignorance, that one will be able to dispel, eliminate this ignorance from within us. And therefore, one then develops the conviction for the necessity to generate no-self, the wisdom of no-self. Otherwise, one may get the impression that this whole discussion about emptiness and no-self is so complex. What is the point? What is the point of engaging in such complex processes? But once you realize that it is the fundamental ignorance that binds us to our conditioned existence, and it is.
다시 두비시잖아. 개방에서 이 사실을 취하지, 취하고도 되더라. 단 중사 마신 이미지, 이제 이미지 년세, 수고 등. 난 계셨어. 그거 들을 거 들을 러시아. 나 들을까지도 집에 가둘이야. 그냥 지금 최신 남자 시절에 야 아주 소소로 자 속이 있어. 소소 그래서 이제 열심히 하면서 집에 맵서 향수 있어. 이제 가르치나. 이제 그만 가이드 쓰지 있어.
In fact, I can tell you a story because you know, if we don't fully understand the importance of how it is by generating wisdom into emptiness, wisdom into no self, that one can bring about the elimination of this fundamental ignorance that binds us to our conditioned existence. If we do not appreciate that point, then sometimes we might wonder, what is the whole point of engaging these complex processes of trying to understand emptiness, which is so difficult and which is so complex? I can tell you a story. Once I gave an exposition on Nagarjuna's Fundamentals of the Middle Way, which deals explicitly with the topic of emptiness. And one of the students who did not have a prior background of sort of learning in great treatises, he made a comment to another colleague. He said, today's teaching session was a little strange because His Holiness began with the presentation of the Buddha's path, and really he built up the edifice, one layer at a time, and then all of a sudden, then he started talking about emptiness and the absence of inherent existence. So this whole edifice that he spent so much time building was then completely dismantled, and he couldn't really see the point. What was the point? So there is that danger. However, if you understand the importance of the need to generate wisdom into emptiness as a means for bringing about the cessation of this affliction, and particularly the fundamental ignorance, then one will recognize the value of deepening one's understanding of emptiness. And also, as Dhammakirti points out in his exposition of the valid cognitions, where he says that loving kindness, emotions such as loving kindness and compassion, they cannot directly challenge the fundamental ignorance. It is by cultivating an insight into no self that one will be directly able to counter the fundamental ignorance.
好的，对，呃，同样的，咱们也说一下。写到，呃，第一的，呃，他把这些个老张也的写，哎呢，他把这边老米人心淡了，阿瓦写的了呀，哎呢，老苏米娘们的写的。So,
having explained the various aspects of the training of mind to cultivate a genuine wish to attain liberation from cyclic existence, then the actual path, the means by which one brings about that freedom, is really explained in the within the framework of the three higher trainings.
Then
we read in verse 5, those who through their personal suffering truly want to end completely all the sufferings of others are persons of supreme capacity. So this refers to the practitioners of the great scope, where by taking their own personal experience of suffering as an example, as a basis, then they extend this understanding of suffering to other sentient beings, and then and recognize the fundamental equality of oneself and others insofar as the desire for overcoming suffering is concerned, thus extending this wish to be free of suffering towards all sentient beings who are as infinite as the expanse of space, and all the methods that are related to bringing about that goal belongs to the practice of the great capacity or great scope.
That tell any churches out of sim give. That is the sim give it to sim gene chevalus niche.
And these practices are broadly, again, they fall into two broad categories. One is the all the practices related to a cult generating the altruistic intention, bodhicitta, and then the second category are all the methods for engaging in the bodhisattva practices following the generation of the altruistic intention. And as for the procedure for training one's mind in generating this altruistic intention, there are various methods and also processes. One method is the 7-point cause and effect method. The other is the method of exchanging and equalizing self and others. And as a result of either of these two methods or through the combination of these two methods, once one has gained the realization of bodhicitta, this altruistic intention, then the practitioner needs to affirm this by participating in a ceremony of affirming the aspirational aspect of bodhicitta, and having done that, this will be then followed by taking the bodhisattva vows.
Ta mengā yundi tu mīkwa nē tā lō chāngyā tē tē tā tēkīyā nō kōtu shīpa nā shīn tā tē nīngjī lō chāngyā kī nīngjī dūngē kāngkī nā rē dūngē kī dūngē sūng kī tā chī nīmī tī tī rāngdēng lī yā guam nī tā dūngē tā mīndi bē lō dūngē jī shī kī jū tsā wā nyūmō lī yā tā mīndi bē lō shūk chāku kē yā lō chāng sīmba chē tā tīndē kī dūngē tī kī rāngdēng lī yā tā dūngē kī nā chū nyūmō bē nā chū tā dī mē shū bē yō bā tī nī shī nē sīm shī shiāng tā lō pā kā bē nī yāni tā yīng jī lō chāng yīng bā rē sā tāng yā lā sīm shī shiāng lā yā jē shī pāng bā lō chī kī kū yō bā yī sā nē jē shī pāng bā lō chū yā lā yīng chē tā mē ngā yun tē tū mē guā nō lō chāng yīng dū sā nē zō jī sīm shī tham chā lō rāng kī nyān tū tē nyān jī chō mā tā wū lō tā nē yāni tē jī chīng chā mā lō sō bā tēn rē kī tā nē jē shī pāng bā lō chū bā rē jē shī pāng bā yōng kī nā bā chī nō tā chū kū yā rē tā mē ngā tā shī nyam shī guā nō lō chāng yīng dū sā nē tā mā yī mīn mā dē bā dōnā bē rāng kā dhāl chā shā nē tā shirā tīng shīng bā yīn dē bā chī kī wā rā tīndē kī tā nē tā sā mū shi tā tē shīn dō rāng chīn zīng kī nī mī shēng chīn zīng kī yuān dē tīndē sā bē tā nē yāni shēng lā jē shī pāng bē lō kī yā dā yāni shēng jē bā zīng bē lō tē bē yuān dē tam chī kī bē kā sū rī bē kī jūng hōng rō bō rāng jē bā zīng bē jīn zīng dē nyē bā tam chī kī tsā wā yīn bā dī yī dī bā lō chāng nē yāng bē kāw lī yā, āni shīni jī shiāndu tuyāni kā lō shūk shīmbu shī lē yāng duwa wā, āni dūngē kī nā wē yū tī āni lī yā yū tī lā mīng nē tā dūngē kī nā nē nā wā shī tōng yōng dū sā nē āni mī shū bē lō kī yā jī tā dū lōng kī yā rē
Now as for the actual process of procedure for generating bodhicitta by following the 7-point cause and effect method, earlier I explained that in order to cultivate compassion, first one must cultivate the various components that are necessary for generating compassion, one of which is the deeper understanding of the nature of suffering, that you do not wish others to experience, you wish others to be free of, and this deeper understanding of suffering we discussed earlier, this understanding must be generated, must be cultivated on the basis of one's own personal experience of the various levels of suffering, and also on the basis of that insight into the nature of suffering, one must develop a deep sense of kind of revulsion from the suffering and the genuine desire to seek freedom from them, and so that your desire to seek freedom from the suffering is really arises from a feeling of a sense of unbearableness towards your own suffering. So once you have that, then in cultivating compassion, you need to then extend this deeper insight into your own suffering. You must extend that onto other sentient beings, and then complement that with cultivating what I earlier mentioned. This is the sense of empathy with others, or the sense of connectedness with others. And it is in relation to this particular practice, one can see the difference between 7-point and cause and effect method and the exchanging and equalizing of self and others method. So these two are two different methods of really cultivating this sense of empathy or sense of connectedness with others. In the case of 7-point cause and effect method, the main approach is to really cultivate a manner of relating to all beings by viewing them as one's most dear objects, such as seeing all sentient beings as one's mothers and so on, and then reflecting upon the great kindness of these sentient beings. Whereas in the method of exchanging and equalizing self and others, the approach is not so much viewing all beings as being mothers or one's kind of dear ones, but rather to in fact go further and to recognize even one's own enemies to be a source of tremendous kindness, and thus extending this recognition of the kindness of all sentient beings, regardless of whether or not they are one's close ones. And this is then followed by reflecting upon the disadvantages of self-centeredness or self-cherishing, and advantages or the virtues of the thought cherishing others' well-being, by finally concluding that the thought cherishing others' well-being is the source of all goodness and all virtues or all excellences, and the self-centeredness and the self-cherishing attitude or the thought is the source of all undesirable events, all negative consequences and all calamities. And through this way, one develops a feeling of empathy and connectedness, and a source of kind of an intimacy with other sentient beings.
Dalo changni, ta di ne ge thane palo ba changni. Ini kalle kalle liya. Ini chigi chi shanti thuni gulo chigi. Ini rimbe rimbe shushe shundro thay chigi. Ta di ne ge nyamyong. Ini kangsam chungye samle ya. Di tempar chaye liya do. Ini member choge sunga se. Ta di member choge sungju la. Simche thamba shangju chon double kyuwa thay la. Lama namji tempar ye. Yangda thamni shaye la cha. Sosan chigu la soba. Chöden tamche ngayon shao la meda dugu ngoboda jinshu bari chöba cha gusan shio la sumbo yi chöba namba dunda kyang changshu nyingbu tatuwa mido bari samda ki gujo sumda rupde chi bimil hangan sa zhung ni temu java shi ni ni tangbur kyangdur lan sum cha tenen simche tangcha la chanpe suni ngon chöbe ngayon su sumda ge so tang chibu so ki dunga ben roa mo lula de de dunga ki ni dunga wa dunga dunga kyu zhe ni roa taban de bari dapa meba tamche be changshu simni ge bari cha shi ni tan digi yāngā tūmbā ngōntum tūwe tāne, tā tēngi chūngla, yāngā tūmbā ngōntum tūwe, tā tēng, lāme chūngla, yāngā tūmbā ngōntum tāne, āni shīrīsīmbē kāsūrī, mēmbā chōgā sūngā tēchē. Tā tē pēngyō līyā, tētā mēmbē sīmdāni kēbē yuantē kāngyīmbā, tēnī tōngbū kāpā yuant dōlē chāngbē sūtū shīm, tē yīn dōlō pāng, lāma lēng yuantē sōgbē chāngyū sīmdī yuantē tāmē bā, nāmbar shē bār chē lā, tēnē gyū zhēn tū. Ten nest, Indian Academy, ten net, Jaro, ten number shiver, chela. Sober Changju, Sindhi, and that time of a number shiver, chela. Ten net, you zendu. Tedra Yane, and the Sindhi give a cha, such. Tonson, Tinjina, ah. Then, Tetra yana yandu sem gyabar chashin sa dirisha. Dan sunam jungan kung shewa la Beijing kishun doda le teyi sunam rodenba kanka sikshya sunzangdu durdu pani dirti cha. Changshu simji sunam kong tela kaya de sukshin na namgay kamne gunga de teni teya thakwar gyo. Kangay chema changi ye sanje shingam sanje shingnam mi kangay rinjin taane gunga de jiden gora pyo kangay temu choji de changshu simji rodenba chepanjini kebar pa. Tela taane ma shiso. chanchu mabaya samda tiyane ni baba mungu kundu peja shin dini kyawa shindonga chandu chige shebe laba yonso sung se ni mensum choga sunga tse dan judum na ya di judum tani tomba matobar yanda mabaya pewa juma yin sobe shinju tomba pende be tishin bebe dini ngebar lang susu taba ridin ki tato tomshin tenpa la chanchu sempe tomba ye kyawa yi di shindome susu taba ridin jishin shibe shebe changju bani changju bani cho yin di Gyanlong Dongpa Dato Shi, Shenzhu Senpe Sada Na Churun Liu Su Choga Ye, Yangda Senyi Dengpa Ye, Lama Sangde Dongpa Lang. Dongpa Choga Lage De, Dengyi Kengshi Dongla Ne, Dongpa Boksu Nyingji Ne, Lama Sangde Sheba Ye, Telen Beben Dinda Ye, Kede Lama Manye Ne, Tele Shen Dong Neba Ye, Choga Yangda Sheba Cha. Tese, Telen Ngansin Jambe Be, Awa Ramza Gyuba Ye, Chidri Shenzhu Tukye Ba, Jambe Gine Sangye Shi, Gengin Dole Sheba, Dishin Dinda Re Se Ti. Gombo Namji Jenga Ru, Zobe Shenzhu Sinji Jin, Zawa Tamche Tundun Ye, 대다 코와 레저로 눈숨 처에 씁니다. 선하다는 차도니 되는 수도 생수도 털기 파도 미죠. 상부를 접어 제시지 뒤는 더 방어죠. 수림 동반 라가에 산지 제수 넣어죠. 등이 뉴에 수진 생수 터버 미주신 샘시 찌기 줄이니 치면 못을 내버 자. 샘에 산지 미제비 신은 타버 신다 남버 장어 자. 민이 송어 제바도 소주 따도 내버 남버 내. 다가 류나 나가에 탐지 돈에 타버 자. 이길 내가 다저 미길라는 미죠. 되나 왔다 뒤인 시주선도 너무 순이야. 어 뒤인 말이. 나 되네마. 러버로 놓을 수 있을 순기.
소
자자가 자다 무슨 저게 내야디 선이 비비시는 긴다. 넘주 사진 시대 하죠 봐. 그 인지. 어 가서 가서 넘주 된다 시선이. 가다면서 삼아 왔다 뒤. 뒤여나. 어 뒤든 주체.
As a result of cultivating deeper understanding of these various methods and engaging in their practices, when one gains a certain level of realization of the various elements of the practice of generating bodhicitta, then at that point one needs to affirm it formally by participating in a ceremony of generating the mind of enlightenment, generating bodhicitta, the altruistic intention. And this is explained in the text from the verse 7. So this ceremony for generating the aspiration is explained from verse 7. We read, "For those excellent living beings who desire supreme enlightenment, I shall explain the perfect methods taught by the spiritual teachers." And then he explains the ceremony itself. Facing paintings, statues and so forth of the completely enlightened one, reliquaries and the excellent teaching, offer flowers, incense, whatever you have. With a seven-part offering from the prayer of noble conduct, with a thought never to turn back till you gain until enlightenment. And with strong faith in the three jewels, kneeling with one knee on the ground and your hands pressed together, first of all, take refuge three times. Next, beginning with an attitude of love for all living creatures, consider beings, excluding none, suffering in the three bad rebirths, suffering, birth, death, and so on, then since you want to free these beings from the suffering of pain, from suffering and the causes of suffering, arouse immutably the resolve to attain enlightenment. Then from the verse 12, the virtues, the benefits of generating this aspiration is explained. The qualities of developing such an aspiration are fully explained by Maitreya in the array of Trunks Sutra. Having learned about the infinite benefits of the intention to gain full enlightenment, by reading this sutra or listening to a teacher, arouse it repeatedly to make it steadfast. The sutra requested by Viradatta fully explains the merit therein. Now from this point onwards, the scriptural sources for these merits are given. So the verse 14 reads, Sutra requested by Viradada fully explains the merit therein. At this point, in summary, I will cite just three verses. If it possessed physical form, the merit of the altruistic intention would completely fill the whole of space and exceed even that. If someone were to fill with jewels as many Buddha fields as there are grains of sand in the river Ganges to offer to the protector of the world, this would be surpassed by the gift of folding one's hands and inclining one's mind to enlightenment, for such is limitless. Having developed the aspiration for enlightenment, constantly enhance it through a concerted effort to remember it in this and also in other lives, keep the precepts properly explained. So after this point is the ceremony for generating the bodhicitta, and then from verse 19 it explains the taking the bodhisattva vows. We read, without the vow of the engaged intention, perfect aspiration will not grow. Make effort definitely to make it, since you want the wish for enlightenment to grow. Those who maintain any of the seven kinds of individual liberation vow have the idea prerequisite for the bodhisattva vow and not others. The Tathagata spoke of seven kinds of individual liberation vow. The best of these is the glorious pure conduct, said to be the vow of a fully ordained person. According to the ritual described in the chapter on the discipline in the bodhisattva stages, take the vow from a good and well-qualified spiritual teacher. Understand that a good spiritual teacher is one skilled in the vow ceremony, who lives by the vow and has the confidence and compassion to bestow it. However, in case you try but cannot find such a spiritual teacher, I shall explain another correct procedure for taking the vow. I shall write here very briefly, as explained in the ornament of Manjushri's Buddha Land Sutra, how long ago, when Manjushri was Ambaraja, he aroused the intention to become enlightened. In the presence of the protectors, I arouse the intention to gain full enlightenment. I invite all beings as my guests and shall free them from cyclic existence. From this moment onwards, until I attain enlightenment, I shall not harbor harmful thoughts, anger, avarice, or envy. I shall cultivate pure conduct, give up wrongdoing and desire, and with joy in the vow of discipline, train myself to follow the Buddhas. I shall not be eager to reach enlightenment in the quickest way, but shall stay behind till the very end for the sake of a single being. I shall purify limitless, inconceivable lands and remain in the 10 directions for all those who call my name. I shall purify all my bodily and my verbal forms of activity, my mental activities too. I shall purify and do nothing that is non-virtuous.
무슨
And as for the ceremony for generating the aspiration, altruistic intention, we will perform that tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the verse has been distributed. There's a single loose sheet. No?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was included in the booklet. Yeah, I think some people have on the back.
Chazanga, 아다 제 그저 두두 아다 기분 좋은 내마 송어지다 되게 안 되려고 넣으신 채 아니 까니 다시 냠지로 자야다 명확히도 되면 민남 자야도 되리 삼도 땅토네 야고야리 아니 무심아 생기를 그도로 고도 수고 채인 거래
So tomorrow, we will begin the session with the ceremony for generating the aspiration, the altruistic intention. And then this will be followed by the blessing empowerment, the blessing initiation of thousand-armed Avalokiteshvara. I think it's four-armed Avalokiteshvara according to Atisha's tradition. And so if in the process of the initiation or blessing ceremony, if time permits, then maybe we can also do the ceremony of taking the Bodhisattva vows, but we will see how it goes. So tomorrow morning, among the members of the audience, those who consider themselves as practicing Buddhists, and especially those who have admiration in the practice of the Bodhicitta, it may be helpful if you can, before coming to the session, do some meditation by based on the text here, by sort of mentally reviewing the various topics, points of the practices of the initial capacity and the middling capacity, and especially the practices that are, the teachings that are given in relation to the seven-point cause and effect method for generating bodhicitta and the exchanging and equalizing of self and others, so that in a sense you will be prepared, you will have prepared yourself so that when you actually participate in the ceremony, your experience will be much stronger and there will be greater effectiveness. So this is how one engages in the training of and generating the bodhicitta, the altruistic intention. And then after having generated this altruistic intention, what is the actual deed that one must engage in? What is the actual task? The task is to engage in the practice of the six perfections.
So the
deeds of the Bodhisattva, which are embodied in the teachings of the six perfections, sometimes when elaborated, they are also enumerated as 10 perfections, where the sixth perfection, wisdom, is further divided into 4, which includes the perfection of power, the perfection of aspiration, wisdom, the transcendent wisdom. And if condensed, sometimes the six perfections are condensed in terms of within the three ethical disciplines of a bodhisattva, these being the ethical discipline of ethical discipline of refraining from negative actions, and the ethical discipline of engaging in positive actions or wholesome actions, and the ethical discipline of working for others' welfare. And I think these three, not only these three ethical disciplines of bodhisattva are comprehensive, but also there is a definite order to these three, definite sequence, because in order to be effective in one's engagement in the ethical discipline of working for other sentient beings, first of all, one must have the ability to live this ideal, and for this, it is necessary to engage in the ethical discipline of gathering virtues and engaging in the positive actions. And however, to engage in the positive actions, one must first refrain from the negative actions of body, speech, and mind. Therefore, these three ethical disciplines of bodhisattva are not only comprehensive, but also their order of sequence is definite.
So,
although the, His Holiness said earlier that although the bodhisattva practitioners' aim is really to help others, but in order to do that, one must first take care of one's own mental continuum. So it is not sufficient for a practitioner of bodhicitta to say, my only wish is to help others, work for other sentient beings, and then neglect entirely the need to purify one's own mind. That doesn't work. So it is inappropriate, as the Tibetans would say, to use the language of working for others' well-being, but in actual practice, doing nothing
not important. Okay. 다진이 아, 어, 다진이 뒤난다 뒤신에 고승도와, 뒤네다 현재 주발이야, 아니. 가수래. 럽라 지 생기 셈시비지. 아니 중중 칼칼이 용이미디 무시디 다 중나. 아니 거 현재 내가 겨우 그래. 봐. 자 드리 이미 인도 땅이야. 드리 이미 인도 안 돼. 대도 송대하게. 지 가사. 현재 주야리야. 아니 무시 주고레스. 자 드리 인도 무시 지금 신의 주고레스 송도와. 제 다 간다연이 먼저 심 지식과서 주야디 쉽게 개심으로샤 아 다 심 지식을 주야려야 자와도 심 지식을 띵으셔야 지난 투모이므래 아 지난 투모체 이나야 다디 냠린 제발려야 심 지식을 밑에 띵으셔 차되게 하래
so in the text here from verse 32 then the actual method of engaging in bringing about this welfare of other sentient beings is explained. But it begins with the explanation of the practice of tranquil abiding, how to cultivate tranquil abiding, shamatha. And the significance of that is that in order to really work for the benefit of other sentient beings, it is helpful if one can develop a certain sensitivity to the need of others, have some kind of ability to discern what is appropriate to a level of teaching to other sentient beings. So here, Atisha describes in the text a method of cultivating some form of ability to kind of perceive others' mental states. In other words, clairvoyance or precognition. And however, these qualities, for these qualities, it is necessary to first gain the realization of tranquil abiding, shamatha. In any case, this tranquil abiding and the single-pointedness of mind, which is embodied in it, is very crucial element of one's practice. And by itself, single-pointedness of mind and the practice of tranquil abiding is nothing unique. There is nothing uniquely about Buddhist. In fact, it is recognized as something that is common to both Buddhist and non-Buddhist traditions in India. However, this single pointedness of mind is a faculty that is indispensable for one's spiritual practice.
So we will
leave here.
창조